Acts chapter 13. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said down here in verse 12. Acts 13, verse 12. Then the deputy of this country, this little island by the name of Cyprus, the deputy, we know his name is Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine. Notice it doesn't say doctrines, it's the doctrine of the Lord. Whenever we find the word doctrine in the scripture, when it's in reference to the gospel of God, it's always singular, doctrine. Whenever we read about the doctrines of men, it's always in the plural, the doctrines of men. The gospel is the doctrine of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This was a response of this ruler in Cyprus to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is called the doctrine of God, our Savior. In Titus chapter 2, it says this, that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. The gospel is a gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are granted and given God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are truly and always fully amazed and totally amazed at the amazing grace of God. The amazing grace of God that's given to such a sinner as me. I'm amazed at the grace of God. I hope you are amazed and overwhelmed at the grace of God given unto you. You have a desire to hear the gospel. You have a faith to believe the gospel. That's a miracle of God's grace. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seems good in his sight. Aren't you amazed that God would save you? I am amazed that God would save this sinner that I am. I can say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way God can be just and justify the ungodly is in and by and through being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God in his eternal and sovereign mercy would choose a sinner like me, that's amazing. I'm amazed at the miracle of God's sovereign love to unworthy sinners like Paul. Every sinner who knows the grace of God and who believes the gospel can say with Paul, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save sinners." I'm the chief one. I'm the chief offender. We can say with the apostle, as he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." You see, if you know you're a sinner, God will teach you there's a Savior. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. A man who thinks he's justified by his doing will never seek salvation in Christ. He'll always go about to establish a righteousness of his own. But those who have been stripped and know they're guilty and know they're miserable sinners, mercy is for the miserable. Grace is for the guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners unto repentance. Can you find your place there? Can you take your place there before God? "Well, I'm really not that bad." Yes, you are. You are that bad and worse. Now, in chapter 13 here, when Paul and Barnabas had returned from Jerusalem back to the church in Antioch, you remember they had spent one whole year teaching and preaching the word of the Lord there in Antioch. And the Lord was pleased to bless that ministry. And out of that one year of gospel preaching, the Lord established a church, and he also called out sinners and translated them into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But he also called out a number of men, sinners saved by the grace of God, to go and preach the gospel in other places. This place in Antioch was known as a preaching center, a place where the gospel was preached, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and where the Lord would send out men to travel and to preach the gospel to fulfill that command the Lord has given to his church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And they took that commission seriously. And they fasted and prayed unto the Lord about this endeavor of what we call evangelism. That is, traveling and preaching the gospel wherever God would open the door for us. Look at verse 1 now, Acts chapter 13. Now there was in the church there is his body, those who were called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. They lived in this city north of Jerusalem, named Antioch. And there were certain men, prophets, who were preachers and teachers. We know about Barnabas. We don't know much about this man, Simeon, called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, or Herod the governor, and this man by the name of Saul. These five men the Lord called out, and as they ministered to the Lord, that is, to the Lord's people, they fasted. They were serious about seeking the Lord's will. The Holy Ghost said, the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart and said to them, laid this burden on their heart. No doubt they were praying about, Lord, who shall we send to go preach the gospel? Who will go for us? And they prayed about that. They fasted about that. And God laid on their heart to separate unto this ministry Barnabas and Saul for the work. Notice it's called a work, not a leisure. We labor in the gospel. We labor in the word of the Lord, whereunto I have called them. The Lord raised up these faithful men, these five men, and among those five men, the Lord sent out his gospel missionaries. These men were sinners who were saved by the grace of God, who had experienced the saving power of God in their heart and were blessed of God to preach the gospel to others. They tasted that the Lord is gracious, and they were eager to tell others about the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what I've said about preaching? Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Salvation is in him. And as they ministered to the Lord's people, feeding them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are charged to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. These men were fasting and praying and seeking the will of the Lord about preaching the gospel. And it was made known by the sovereign choice of God that Paul and Barnabas would travel and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel comes by the calling of God. No man puts himself in the ministry. Paul was not seeking the ministry. Saul of Tarsus was not even seeking salvation, but the Lord was seeking him out. And God raised him up to be a preacher of the gospel. Now, let me read this to you, found in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, when Paul writes about being called and put into the ministry, he says this. In Ephesians chapter 3, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles what we preach, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. God put him in the ministry according to the effectual working of his power. The church of Antioch sent them away as they fasted and prayed. Verse 3, they laid their hands on them. That is, they recognized God's calling to these men, and they sent them away. They sent them away with their prayers, praying for them all the time. They sent them away with their full support. Financially and spiritually, they prayed for them, and financially, they backed them. They didn't have to go and labor as they preached. They were provided for by this church here in Antioch, and that's what we do today. We send out our missionaries, and we support them. This church has ever since it was assembled as a gospel-preaching church. Now look at verse 4 and 5. So they being sent forth by God the Holy Spirit, they departed from Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now you can look on your map and you can find out the distance and so forth. But traveling that day was difficult. It's not like it is this day. Traveling that day was difficult. You couldn't hop on a plane or a train or a car. It's either by boat or by wagon train or by foot. Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, this is the capital of Cyprus, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John Mark, to their ministry. Now, a couple things here. Barnabas was from this island of Cyprus. That was his home city. You remember what the Lord, why did they go to Cyprus first? Well, that was the burden of their heart, and the Lord called them to that. But remember when the Lord saved that wild gathering? Remember what he told him? Go home and tell how great things the Lord had done for you. And evidently this was so heavy upon the heart of Barnabas that he told his dear friend Paul, let's go to my hometown and let's start right there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what they did. That's what they did. Now notice when they came to Salamis, they came to the synagogue of the Jews. And we're going to see this repeated over and over again. The gospel was to the Jew first and then also to the Gentile. We're going to see that later on in this chapter. The synagogue or the assembly of the Jews. But here's what they did. They preached the word of God. They didn't give them any other advice other than pointing them to the word of God and the gospel message found in the word of God. They preached unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, we have an example of that just across the page. We have a recording of Paul's message in Acts 13, verse 23. And we get a sense of his ministry and what they preached. When it says they preached the word, that means they preached Christ. Now, this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached Christ and him crucified. Look further on in Acts chapter 13. Verse 37. This is the same sermon. Whom God raised up again. God raised again and saw no corruption. Talking about the risen Lord. How he died for our sins according to the scriptures. You remember 1 Corinthians 15. How he is raised again the third day according to the scriptures. God raised him up. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So when it says they preached the word of the Lord, what did they preach? They preached Christ as everything in salvation. Read on, Acts 13, 39. And by him, we have forgiveness of sin. By him, all that believe, we believe by him, according to the working of his mighty power. All that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So they didn't preach the law for salvation. They preached the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, does that sound familiar? That's what we preach. We preach Christ and him crucified as everything in salvation. Now, as they were preaching the gospel in this city of Salamis, the capital, verse 6, and when they had gone through the island unto Paphos, that is from Salamis in the east, all the way to the other end of the island, they found a certain sorcerer who was a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, or son of Joshua, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus was a prudent man. He was a wise man. He was the governor of this island, who called for Paul and Barnabas and Saul. We know it's Paul. Now here's the point I would make. He desired to hear, not from Barnabas or Saul, he desired to hear the word of God. What did they preach? They preached the word of God. What did he want to hear? This word desired means that he had a craving. He had an earnest. He had a longing to hear not just what Barnabas' opinion was or Saul's opinion. He wanted to hear what thus saith the Lord. And God gave him this desire in his heart. If any man has a desire to hear the word of the Lord and to hear the gospel, it's only because God works that in you. It's the working of God in you. The carnal mind will not receive the things of God. The natural man will not receive the things of God. If you desire this morning to hear from God, I hope you didn't come here to hear from me. I want you to listen to what I say, but I want you to hear God in his word, in the gospel. If you have a desire this morning to pant after him like the thirsty deer, it's because God has given you a hunger and a thirst for the bread of life, for the water of life, seeking salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a desire to hear from God. Salvation of the Lord. Isn't that what you want to hear? You want to hear about my experiences. They won't do you any good. You don't want to hear about my thoughts. They won't do you any good. I want to tell you what God says about the way of salvation from the word of the Lord. This false prophet, who was a Jew, whose name was son of Joshua, he was with this deputy. Evidently, he was his political advisor or his counsel or something. But God sent this man, Sergius Paulus, a gospel preacher. But watch what happens. And this is always what happens when the gospel is preached. Where the gospel of God's grace is boldly and plainly and publicly declared, you know what you'll have among the religious people? Opposition. We're going to see that all the way through our study of the book of Acts. This man, Elymas, the sorcerer, who was a trickster, he used, like Simon Magus, he was a magician who used the art of deceit and deceiving people to make himself to be somebody. He withstood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now you can see what's going on here. This man, Elymas, was in league with Sergius Paulus. He was his advisor, his counsel. And when this man, Sergius Paulus, desired to hear the word of the Lord, Elymas stepped in and said, "You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear those fellas. You don't want to hear the word of God. You want to hear what I say." Well, Paul plainly calls him the child of the devil. He turned you away from the word of the Lord. Now, false preachers and false prophets always seek to turn away people from hearing. Look what it says there. To turn away the deputy from the faith. What is the faith? Well, there's one faith, one Lord, one gospel, one baptism. False preachers always want to turn people away from the way of salvation in Christ alone. There's just one faith, there's just one way, there's just one salvation. It's in Christ. Our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me." Now, no different in our day. When the gospel of God's grace is plainly declared, false preachers will always try to turn people away from the Lord Jesus Christ to something else, or something less, or something more. Mark it down. They always will. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, plus anything is not salvation. Christ alone is the Savior. In Him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and we stand complete in Him. False preachers are always opposed to what God calls the truth, the doctrine of the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, because he was given faith in Christ, Sergius Paulus, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember what, let me see if I can find this over here in 2 John, I believe it is. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. The doctrine of the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often we use the word T-U-L-I-P, tulip, with a systematic way of describing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've given this to you many times, T-U-L-I-P. You know what those five things stand for? We are what they call five-point Calvinists. What does T stand for? Total depravity. Total depravity. What happened in the garden? Sin entered in. And death by sin. And that sin and guilt and condemnation passed upon all men. Total depravity. That is the doctrine of God. That's what the gospel of God teaches. We are sinners through and through. Total depravity. And then we have what we call TU, stands for unconditional election. That is, God in eternity chose a people unto salvation. That's what this book teaches. That is the doctrine of the gospel. Notice singular, doctrine of the gospel. What happened in the garden? What happened in eternity? God chose a people unto salvation. And then what happened at Calvary? The L stands for limited atonement or definite atonement or particular redemption. For whom did the Lord Jesus Christ die? He did not die for all the sins of all men. He did die for the sin of his covenant people. And they shall be saved because he put away their sin. We're not ashamed of that. A lot of people call themselves four-point Calvinists. They want a hedge on the thing of the atonement. His redeeming blood was not shed in vain. He laid down his life for his people, his sheep, and he saved them by his grace. And none for whom Christ died can perish. That is his atonement. T-U-L-I stands for invincible grace or effectual call. God doesn't try to save anybody. He calls them effectually by his grace. And they will, he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I call them, and they do follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. We call that the effectual call of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when God saves a sinner, when he gives him a new nature, makes him a new creature in Christ. And the P stands for perseverance and preservation. God's people are preserved by the grace of God. And because they are preserved, they persevere in the faith. They die in faith. They die believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Sergius Paulus believed, being astonished, verse 12, at the doctrine of the Lord. That's what we preach, and that's what we believe, the doctrine of the Lord. Now go back to verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul. Paul was his Roman name, Paul being a Roman citizen, and his name, Paul, means small. Remember, he said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. He took this title to himself, saying that I am an insignificant sinner saved by the grace of God. But he's filled and he's full of God the Holy Spirit. And this is true of every believer. The Holy Spirit abides within the believer. And notice what he does. When he found opposition in this man, this sorcerer, Elymas, the sorcerer, and when that man stood against the Apostle Paul and opposed the message of God's grace, here's what he said, verse 10. You're full of all subtlety, all mischief. He says, you're a child of the devil. These are strong words. You're an enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert or change the right ways of the Lord? Now, here's what false preachers always do. They're an enemy of righteousness. Now, they're not against morality, right? False preachers aren't against morality. They want you to be a good citizen, a good husband, a good worker, do all these things right. They're not opposed to morality, but what these false preachers are opposed to is the imputed righteousness revealed in the gospel. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work. False preachers are always opposed to that. They preach going about to establish a righteousness of their own. All subtlety and all mischief. This is Satan's lie. This is Satan's lie. Salvation by works is Satan's lie. It's not God's truth. You're a child of the devil. A message of the devil will not save. A lie will not save. You remember what we read in John 8? You should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said to those Jews, you're of your father the devil, because you will not believe the truth. An enemy of all righteousness. An enemy to the Lord our righteousness. And they always want to change, that word pervert, to change the right way of the Lord. Now, neither is there salvation in any other, right? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the same thing that Peter preached to that Jewish council in his day. Salvation in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Strong words of condemnation. Paul did not seek a compromise, but rather a strong, bold stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would not back down. If you believe the truth and preach the truth and stand for the truth, you cannot compromise and be God's servants. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be cursed. Let him be damned. Now, two things happen. And I'll close with this. And now behold, verse 11, two things happened. The Lord condemned one and justified the other. Look at verse 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. God's going to blind you, judicially blind you, not seeing the sun for a season, physically blind and judicially blind. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, so much so that he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. God, he was already spiritually blind, but God gave him a physical blindness to remind him of his spiritual blindness, being dead in sin and in condemnation. The hand of God sent judgment upon this man, but also the same hand of the Lord sent mercy to the deputy when he saw what was done, verse 12. He heard what Paul and Barnabas had preached. He heard the word of the Lord. When he saw what was done, believed, being astonished, not at this man's condemnation, astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, that God would have mercy upon him, the sinner. You see, the Lord will have mercy upon whom he will. He will harden whom he will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The same hand that dealt out justice with the same hand that dealt out mercy. The Lord will save whom he will. And I tell you who he's going to save. If you flip the page, the last part of the Apostle Paul's message in Acts 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe the gospel. God has appointed a multitude of people unto salvation by his grace and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.